People go in and they get involved with things sometimes that bring destruction rather than satisfaction. And, you know, I want to read this scripture where Jesus said that he was the bread of God out of the 6th chapter of John. And then we want to talk about it and kind of look at it and go through a few different points. But I want you to think about that, the bread that satisfies the soul. Now, in John chapter 6, I want to start reading in the 25th verse, and then we're going to read down to the 35th verse, and we got some other scripture that we may read in just a minute. Jesus was teaching at Capernaum, and he had done some miracles, and people had saw him, and people began to follow him. And of course, he's God. You know, the Lord knows what's in our hearts and our minds before we even tell him. I was reading a little bit last night where the Lord was over there talking to Balaam. And when he asked Balaam a question, why are you here? Who sent you here? It wasn't because he didn't already know, but how else is God going to communicate with you and I? He asks us and he seeks for us to come and to ask him. But look at what the Lord knew was in the hearts of the people and what he said to them. In John chapter 6, verse 25, it says, and when they had found him, speaking of Christ, on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now he knows that they're seeking him because they wanted their natural needs met. Okay? A lot of times that's why people come to the Lord. They're coming to the Lord because they want something or they need something. You know, a lot of times people show up at the house of God because they're having problems and they're having troubles. And that's okay. We want them to come. Sometimes people come because they have natural needs and they want those needs immediately met. Sometimes people come, there's trouble in the home, there's trouble in the family, there's trouble in the marriage. But the Lord knows, and I believe that we know, the most important need that needs to be met is the need of the soul. Now listen to what Jesus begins to speak to him and say. He says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And then he says, For him, hath God the Father sealed. Now what he's telling them is that bread that endures unto everlasting life is himself. Now let's go on and read what this says. It says, And then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then that we may see and believe thee, and what doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then saying unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now the true bread, the bread of God, is Jesus Christ. The true bread that satisfies the soul, I believe, is God. It is a relationship with God. Now, you know, as I've said before, I've said it a few times, and, you know, I've been in church all my life, and I've seen revivals, and I've seen different things happen, but some of the things that probably stick out the most in my heart and my mind is remembering some of the services that I've been in, not because of they were great number, but they were great things, but just watching the people that I grew up around. See, I can remember going to church with people when they'd show up, and there is a natural to this body, we get tired. We get wore out. You know, I'm getting to the point on Sunday afternoon, I just covet a nap. I do. I want a nap. I don't get one very often at all, but I think about it. You know, and I think about how nice it would be. But, you know, because sometimes we get tired. But I can remember growing up and going to church, and I'd remember going in and watching my dad, and I've mentioned him to you. And, you know, Brother Larry, you made this morning, you made personal reference, and you kept apologizing for it. Don't. Those are blessings to me. I mean, think about it. When we grew up and we remember the things in our life that impact us and change us, I believe everybody here has those. That when we think back and we remember the impact that it had on our life, when you share them, they're a blessing to somebody else. But I can remember being in church and looking around me at people that I grew up around, how much they enjoyed being in the house of God. And I thought about this, and this really came to my heart and my mind because I was talking to somebody recently about coming to the house of the Lord and why we go, and this is the comment that was made. The person said, "I go to get fed." Now you think about that for just a minute. I go to the house of God to get fed. I need to be fed from the Word of God. I need God to feed me. And what my desire is as a preacher or as a teacher, as a pastor, is you want to be able to give people something that's going to help them make it through the week. You know, I wouldn't want to come to church and when I left feel worse than when I came if I'm looking for something from God. And I heard him say, I go to get fed. And I thought about that, and I thought about how important that was. And then I thought about this. In order to go to the house of God to get fed, you must have been developed an appetite. You know, and with a relationship with God and growing in your relationship with God, there should be a hunger that's inside of you for the things of God. There should be a hunger to get fed from the Word of God. God's Word should mean something to you. You know, over in the 119th Psalm, there's a verse there that the Lord showed me, and I thought about it many times. It says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, I mentioned this morning that I believe I could preach the same scripture multiple times and get different things out of it. I sat in Sunday school this morning and I listened to Brother Larry Hart talking about Joseph. And I just preached about Joseph last Sunday night. But it was absolutely completely different from anything that I said. And then I began to sit there and he said, "Brother Joe, you got anything to say?" I said, "I come to listen." And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut as much as I can. I get plenty of time, okay? I get my turn. But I was sitting there and I was thinking about other things that God had begun to show me in that scripture just while we were sitting there in Sunday school this morning. Because when you develop an appetite and a hunger for the things of God, when you get around the people of God and you start talking about the Word of God, it excites you. And when I get around somebody that says they're a Christian but they never want to talk about the things of God, there's something wrong. You know, I've worked with people sometimes for years, and then you find out they go to church. There's one guy I worked with for a long time, and I found out that he was on the finance committee at his church, and he was on this committee, and he was on this committee. I was in shock, because I never would have thought he'd have wanted to hear about the things of God. But you know, when you come to the house of God, you go to get fed. There's an appetite inside of us that is not going to be satisfied anywhere else. You know, we're living in a world today, in general, that seemingly is losing its appetite for the things of God. Over in the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." You know, we're living in times today to where there are mega, mega churches. Now, I'm talking about thousands of people sometimes go to some of them. But when I begin to listen to some of the things that are said, sometimes I'm troubled. Because I heard of this one particular pastor of this mega, mega church that was asked point blank. And you know, they want to get us in front, if we have influence, of a camera to ask us something that they can point at us. But you know, it may be a time or a test in our life that is more important that we prepare for it than any other. It's just like I mentioned this morning. If you're going to witness to somebody, you may have to work beside that person for 5 or 6 or 10 years living for the Lord to earn the right to witness to them one time. And you know, a prominent preacher may preach his entire life for one opportunity to get on national television and answer this question. I heard them asked this one particular preacher, Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And of course he began to backpedal and he hem-hawed around and he wouldn't give them the answer. And I thought, why not? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says there's no other name given. The Bible tells us that there's one God and one mediator. And if we get up in every Sunday and we're going to preach the word of God to people and be responsible before the Lord, we should use that opportunity. And he hem-hawed around and he wouldn't say it. And of course I thought, well, looking at some of the other things he said and done, that doesn't surprise me. But then I heard there was another preacher that didn't have the same reputation, that was known for preaching revivals all over this land, all over the world, that lived his entire life preaching. And he was on Larry King, and he was asked the same question. Now, I could give you both their names. You may already know both their names, but I'll tell you, it was on two opposite ends of the spectrum. One was highly liberal, one was highly conservative. And when this man stood in front of Larry King and he was asked, is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? He wouldn't give the answer. Now, what he did the next day, and I believe it's because when he got back to his hotel room or wherever he was at, the Holy Spirit of God, if he saved, jumped on him and whipped him. Because the Bible says he chastens those he loves. And I want to tell you something, unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required. And he called and he reneged the next day. And he says, I do want to say that Jesus is the only way. But you see, we're living in those times where there's a famine. And there's a famine that where people are not hungry like they used to be for the things of God. You know, my son has been studying about the great revival that took place in this country in the 1700s. The Great Awakening. I ought to know as much about it as he does. I've had to learn it to teach it to him. But we were talking about Jonathan Edwards and Whitfield and the great preachers of the Reformation and the revival, the Great Awakening. And as I begin to look and listen and see, you know, those men and what they did, it was a time, you know, they weren't any greater preachers than the preachers you grew up with. A lot of the preachers that some of you here know and some of you have mentioned, I guarantee you, they weren't any greater than those men. But there was a great hunger during that time to when people wanted to hear the words of God and they were asking for it and they would travel for miles in horse and buggy to get there, didn't have to have an air-conditioned building, didn't have to have ceiling fans and lights and a sound system, but they were hungry for the things of God. But that hunger, seemingly, it's not what it used to be. Now, you know, you must have a hunger. An appetite must have been developed. And some of what I hear sometimes when I'm talking to some of my brothers and sisters in Christ is that appetite, it takes time and it builds. You know, my boys have got quite the appetite. I want them to learn and have an appetite for the things of God. That's why it's very important to me that they be in the house of God, that they be involved in as much as they can. And, you know, this morning, I want to be honest with you, I was touched by the presentation they did. I was touched by it. And you know what touched me the most? We know that those places exist around the world, but I was touched by what it did in their hearts. And, you know, as I sat there, you know what I was thinking? I'd love for my son to go. I'd love for him to go and see what it's like so that when we're driving down the road and we say we're going out to eat, he doesn't pitch a fit because we don't go into the place that he wants us to go to. Now, he's a good boy, but I think it's pretty common. I think y'all understand. And when I looked at how it touched their hearts, and you know what they said? They said, we're going back. And they said, we hope this church will help them. You know, it takes building an appetite. And until they got there and they begin to work, and as Hannah said, until I begin to hold those little babies, I didn't know what it would mean inside of my heart. So it takes a hunger. Now, I believe if you've got a hunger, that God feeds the hungry soul. I do. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Now, he feeds us. You know, as I mentioned, I can remember times, and I watched people. And you know, come into the house of the Lord and just be wore out, and they just get to worshiping, and they get to smiling, and they get to having a good time, and they get to praising the Lord. And I grew up watching that. I can remember sometimes I spent more time watching the preachers than I did anything that went on. I kind of sat right over here, kind of the third bench back, right behind y'all. And the preachers all sat, I don't know why, but they sat over here. And I would look over there at them, and they'd be clapping their hands and smiling and praising the Lord. And they come in, and they were looking for something, and you know what? They got it. They got it. You know, what I don't understand is, if you really love the Lord, why don't you like talking about Him? You know, when I get around somebody and we start talking about the Lord, I'm ready to have a good time. Because God will, He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, a lot of times people are looking for everything in the world to satisfy the soul. And Christians, sometimes, if you're really where you need to be with the Lord, you can have, Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And I've experienced that and seen that in my life. Now, not only does he feed us, but He blesses us. Look at Psalms 34:8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, worshiping the Lord is the best thing that I've found in this life. You know, I've been pulled in a lot of different directions. But I got saved when I was 12 years old. And I mean, I met the Lord and He saved me. And even though there's been a pull, there's nothing out there that brings contentment. I mean, I've been pulled by the things of the world. You know, I went through some teenage years to where I wasn't as wild as I guess a lot of folks talk about today. Some of the things that I did, and I went not long ago to an ordination of a friend of mine that I grew up with, and we were kind of laughing about what we thought was mean. It wasn't like people do today. But you know, I've been pulled, but He's in me. He's in there. And it's not like I'm just making a decision to go this way or that way. I met a living God. And He's inside of me. And when I have trouble or when I have problems, He comes on the scene and He fills me. And He strengthens me and He helps me. And because I belong to Him, yes, He chastens me. You know, it's evidence that you're saved by the grace of God if you're chastened by the Lord. It's evidence. You know, and people say, well, I don't like that. You know, I don't like it either. But it's true that He cares for us when He chastens us. Now, I said before, and I want us to consider this, nothing satisfies the appetite like the Word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, if Jesus is the Word, and I've said this before, one time I gave a little promotion for Sunday school, why don't people want the Word? Why do we not hunger for the Word? You know, there's nothing that I enjoy more than sitting and listening to a preacher when he's preaching and the Holy Spirit's moving. I just enjoy that. And I love good singing, I do. But I love to listen to a preacher when he's preaching or teaching and the Holy Spirit is moving. Because I love to get and see the things that come out of the Word of God. So, Jesus is the Word, and if we love Jesus, I believe we're going to love the Word. And, you know, what we are built for, what we're made for, I believe what we're created for on this earth that will satisfy us like nothing else is worship. Just worship. You know, it's an experience and it's an intimate thing between the individual and God. Now, we come together in public worship, and the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. But worship becomes individual when you're lifting up praise to the Lord. Now, I heard a preacher preaching not long ago, and he made this comment, and it really stuck in my heart and my mind, and it helped me understand a little bit about my own relationship with God. He said, when I preach, I worship. And I thought about that. And he said, when I teach, I worship. Now, when I began to think about that, I just got a little more excited. And I begin to enjoy a little more of some of what God has allowed me to experience. Because we were built and made for worship. And what I believe in the world that we're living in today is because people have drifted away from God. The Bible talks about in the last days that they will be inventors of evil things. People have took and tried everything in the world to fill the void of their soul other than what they were made for, which is worship. You know, drugs, alcohol, all the things in the world, relationships, pleasures, fame, fortune, all those things won't satisfy. And we see it every day when people live to the end of their life and they're never satisfied with what they have because they're not fulfilled, because they cannot and they do not know how to worship the God, the living God. Now, go over to Luke chapter 4. I want to share just a few verses with you. This is the temptation of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus used to combat the devil is he used the word of God. And this is the ultimate lesson, I believe, that we could learn looking at this scripture. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Now, he was God, but he came down here and took upon himself a fleshly body so that he could suffer. The Bible says that he is a great high priest, which was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And because he was without sin, it said, "Therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, folks, I believe he was hungry. Now, to me, hungry, I don't really get hungry like I did when I was a boy. Sometimes it tickles me. We're going down the road, and if it's been 3 hours since my boys eat, here's what it's like. It's like a cat crying in the back seat. "Oh, I'm so hungry, my belly hurts." And, you know, it just goes on. I just don't experience that anymore. I don't know why. I just don't get that hungry. I mean, it's time to eat, you know. But after 40 days, and Jesus was not old as I am either, okay? When I was 30, I was hungry, okay? But he was hungry. And the hunger pains were beginning to build up in his stomach. And you know what it's like when you're really hungry, even to the point of cramps. And here's the devil, and he comes. And I want you to know the devil had the power to do the things that he said in the scripture. He says, "And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it." Now remember, he is the prince of the power of the air, and he is the God of this world. And he said, "I'm going to give you this." It says, "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, if you look at this for just a minute and understand it, what our enemy is wanting to do to us is he's wanting to offer us a substitute in our weakest point so that we will turn away from this bread that only satisfies. You see, because sometimes we do go through things in our life to where we have to hold on. I told somebody this week, I was talking to them, they were having trouble. I said, sometimes what you have to do is tie a knot and just hang on. I've been there. You just hang on. You know, I've been there to where I just say, "Lord, if it's going to happen, you got to do it. I'm not going to quit, but I can't change it, Lord. I'm not going to quit, but I can't do it, Lord." And what the devil wants you to do is just quit. And what God wants you to do is hold on and trust him, because that's really the only way you're going to grow. That's really the only way you're going to go to the point that you have an intimate relationship with the living God and you're not a child in your relationship with him anymore. Hold on and trust God. Notice something else. When Satan is speaking to the Lord, he knew the scripture. He knew what it said about Jesus. And he even quoted him from the Old Testament out of the book of Psalms, chapter 91, and he told him, it's written. But listen to what Jesus said in the 12th verse. It says, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now that's out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You can go through this and you can run these scriptures. The first one that Jesus spoke is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The second one is chapter 6, 13. The third one is chapter 6, verse 16. But Jesus used the word of God to combat the devil. And folks, what we need to have in us is the word of God, the bread of God, and understand, just like the lessons in this story, natural bread cannot satisfy the hungry soul. Natural bread. You say, there's times I've been full, there's times I've been hungry. And Paul said, I've learned both how to abound and to be abased. In other words, I've learned to be hungry, I've learned to be full, and therewith, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In other words, I surrender my life and my body to God, and I'm going to stand and live wherever he places me. Complete and total surrender. Not going to let the things of this world, natural bread cannot satisfy the hungry soul. Number two, riches and fame cannot satisfy the hungry soul. You see, sometimes people think, if I can just get that job, if I can just get that position, it's kind of like if I can just win American Idol. You know, sometimes, you know, I can't watch that a whole lot, but sometimes when they got those people on there that think they can sing, it is kind of funny. But you know, I know a singer, a young lady, who is very talented, like the people in this church. You know there's talented people in this church that are as good as anybody that's ever won American Idol? But I know this young lady that went out there, and she was about 20, 21 years old. She made it to Hollywood. And while she was out there, she sang in a Christian, a gospel group, and I'm talking about she can really sing. And we hope to get them here soon. We've been talking about it. But she got out there to Hollywood and they started trying to get her to wear different clothes. They wanted to dress her a certain way. And they got certain music that they wanted her to sing. And she had to come to the conclusion. And I want you to know this was tough for a 21-year-old little girl to do. And I say little girl, I got one older than that. But she said this was hard. Now I say it was hard. She didn't say it was hard, but you imagine it. Out there in all those lights and all that glamour with all those stars, to say that goes against my convictions. And I can't do that. And call your mama and get on a plane and come home. You know, because riches and fame cannot satisfy the hungry soul. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And it's going to be over before we realize it. You know, sometimes I'm walking around there at work and it's gotten to the point that we're bringing people into the building that we're hiring that are younger than my daughter. It's hard for me to imagine that. Now, I know y'all look up here and y'all see me with a bald spot and gray hair and y'all think he's getting old. I don't feel old sometimes. Sometimes I still feel like a little boy. Now, I don't know if that's even something you can understand, but sometimes I do. Sometimes I look at my life and my home and where I'm at in my life and I wonder, honestly, how I did that by myself. But the truth is, we don't do it by ourselves. God helps us. You see, riches and fame won't satisfy the hungry soul. The next thing he offered him is power. Power cannot satisfy the hungry soul. You know, we're living in times today to where they say, and I've heard it said, it doesn't matter who you are, what your character is. You get elected to public office, and you're in the House of Representatives, or you're a Senate, or you're the president, and you're going to be changed by the power. What I told them is they'd just assassinate me. Because when I got up there and told them what I believed, I'd drive them all crazy. Power. That was a good amen there now. Power cannot satisfy the hungry soul. If we understand this, the true bread, Jesus said, I'm Him. I'm Him. And life, I think, is so important. And sometimes I think about my own life in this manner because, folks, I'm still growing. I'm growing in my relationship with God every day. I'm still learning to trust God. I'm still learning every time I open God's Word. As I wonder how much time I'm going to have and how much am I going to get where I need to be. Do you ever think about that? Well, the amount of time that I have on this earth to live, am I going to really grow and learn what I need to learn? Am I going to get where I need to get in my relationship with God? But I'm always hungered for Him. I'm always hungry for the Lord. And we ought to be. We ought to be constantly hungry for the Lord. I heard a man one time and he was talking about growing in his relationship with God. And he was talking about how that, you know, you go to Sunday school class and you hear good teaching. And I want to tell you something. I really enjoy Sunday school here. My wife, this morning, we were coming down the road, and actually I got here for her because I've been getting here early to support the biscuit group. And she said, are you coming to Sunday school today? And I said, well, I'm going to try to come, but we're having a baby dedication. I got to meet them people. I got to fill these books out, and I got to do this. And I need to look at the order of service. I need to talk to Brother Keith. And she said, well, I want to know if you come to Sunday school. It's like, I want you sitting by me. And sometimes I think about it, and I came in this morning, I tried to slip in because I want to be supported. But I'm going to tell you, when I walked in and the class was full, it excited me. But I don't care who's teaching, I always enjoy going to Sunday school. And, you know, it's something that I grew up on, but we're living in a day and time today where churches are getting away from that. They're going to this small group thing. Now, some of that's good, but some of it's a little too cliquish for me. I just want to come worship the Lord. I'm an introvert. I know y'all can't tell it right now, but I am. I like the house of God. I like to worship God. But as I heard him talking, he was saying, you know, we go to Sunday school. We go to church. We go to our special meetings. He said, but for the Christian that wants to eat from God's table, he said, you must learn how to prepare your own meals. And I'll tell you, that stuck in my heart. And it's been in my heart and my mind. Because sometimes, maybe, as I mentioned before, I get these great thoughts and I go home and I study and I outline it and I've got everything prepared. And God never lets me share it. Maybe it's for me. Think about that. How much has God done in your life because He cares about you? See, because God wants to have a relationship with you as an individual. And He is the bread that satisfies the hungry soul. I'll share this with you and then I'll close. There's a song that we used to sing when I was in a youth choir going back years ago. And the name of the song was Heavenly Honey. I hated that song. I'm just going to be honest with you. But my daddy loved that song. Okay? And he always asked us to sing it. Here's what it said. It said, Heavenly honey flowing from the throne. We're at the table, the master's own. We will be filled and satisfied with heavenly honey that only God supplies. Now, the choir, youth choir used to sing at my dad, he just smiled like a, you know, I use the saying like a goat eating briars. Maybe some of you understand that. But he just smiled and he just enjoyed it. And I thought, I don't like that song. I've told Brother Keith, you know, we all got our preferences. I don't care. I mean, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what you sing. Just sing it to the Lord. Amen. Sing it for the honor and glory of God. Amen. That's what's important. Worship. Whatever you get. Now, my son, sometimes he brings stuff to me and he says, listen to this new song, Daddy. I can't even understand what they're saying. He says, that's good gospel. I just look at him. So, well, son, we're going to slow it down enough where Dad can understand them words. Worship. Personal relationship with the living God. Amen. Amen. That's what I had on my heart tonight. Has anybody got anything that you'd like to share with the church or anything you'd like to say for the Lord? Any testimony tonight? Okay. Go ahead. Thank you for playing that. I was thinking before I got up this evening, man, I wish we had a good video. That's good. That's good. But that gives you some insight. Are you hungry for the Lord? Amen. Anybody have a word before we dismiss tonight? Anything you'd like to say for the Lord? Let's be much in prayer for Celebrate Recovery tomorrow night. Be much in prayer for our service Wednesday and Sunday. Invite somebody to come. There are people that are still looking for a place they can go and worship. And we want people to be welcome here. We want people to come. We want God to be lifted up and this church to be a place that is a haven for people, amen, to come. Amen. We'll be dismissed. Brother Billy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
You want to go for the lighthouse first, right? Can you give us the lighthouse Yeah.
I'm tossed at satellite so that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown the light around me that I clearly see. If that's it for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Everybody who lives around me wants to tear the lighthouse down. The big ship don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use in standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from the old lighthouse that stands upon the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, from the rocks of sin, He has shown the light around me that I clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, then
here Wednesday night, aren't you?
I can be.
I'm trying to think. When-